Welcome to the Leapform Podcast, episode number 11. Two for the price of one today, courtesy of Brownsburg High School in Brownsburg, Indiana, just outside of Indianapolis. Football coach John Hart and strength conditioning coach Brian Neese. This one's kind of an interesting two-parter. We talk a little bit to Coach Hart about what it was like trying to grow a program, and that including bringing in Elite Form. And then talk to Brian almost a bit more specifically about his experience as a strongman, his love of Disney, and the fact he wears a lot of Grumpy the Dwarf t-shirts. So this is a fun one. I'm looking forward to giving this one a re-listen myself. And without further ado, John Hart, Brian Neese, Brownsburg High School.
The first two rounds.
So how do sectionals work now? Like, is it just location?
It's by location. In this case, the IHSA, because we grew one school went together. Cathedral went from the north, and they just said, they lost a team, so we'll put them. So they jumped them into our sectional for no reason. It's not, they didn't redistrict. They just took.
They literally only moved Cathedral?
Carmel. I said Cathedral. I meant Carmel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they moved Carmel from the north down into our sectional. So now it's us, Carmel, and Avon. And I would assume we'll be all three ranked in the top five next year.
So, dumb question. Wouldn't they have known that before they made the switch?
Absolutely.
That's nonsense. Not as bad as the cluster system.
No.
Necessarily. But it's kind of the same result.
Yeah. Now that I was in the cluster system in Illinois, probably when...
Was it set up the same way?
Yeah. Way back whenever I was in high school, it was really odd. Like, one team from your conference got selected. So you could be 9-0 and 8-1. Some 9-0s didn't even make it if you weren't in a sectional. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. So for folks listening who don't know what we're talking about, we've been joking about the fact that I went to high school at Harrison High School, and we were in a playoff system that was called a cluster. Brownsburg High School was also in that cluster. When the teams played, Brownsburg won 10-7 on, I believe, a late field goal, right? And then that allowed Brownsburg to make the playoffs. We were out, which is the thing that bothers me to this day the most. And Brownsburg went on to win a state championship.
Well, now everybody in the state of Indiana is in the playoffs, but a ping pong ball decides your season doesn't mean anything. A ping pong ball decides who's home, away, and who plays whom. So, wow.
There's iterations in between, but like if you look at the 80s, right?
Yep.
To that, it's like as big a swing the other way as you could take it. Yeah, because all we wanted, even though I'm ancient now. And it was just a dumb sophomore back then. But all we wanted was another chance. I mean, you guys won. So given the rules, right, deserving. But we blasted everybody else. So I'm sure you guys did probably too.
Kind of went from a Donald Trump to a Bernie Sanders. if you imagine it politically.
Yeah, it's how big a swing can you get, right? Yes, it's binary. It's black and white. So for sure. So, for folks who don't know, Coach, you mind describing your role here real quick?
I'm the head football coach and the director of strength training for the district.
For the whole district?
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll bring Brian on in a second, but we're going to have Brian with us as well. Do you want to kind of give an overview of what he does for you?
Well, first of all, he's the world's strongest man. He won it in, I think, 1980. Is that right? 1999. And he's been a strength coach here for many, many years. But you know what he's really done is in the last 4 years transform our high school into a competitive high school in athletics to an elite high school. And I really believe that in all sports you'll see us ranked highly in a lot of them.
So even though you're a football guy, right, you're seeing that all the way across the board.
Yeah, so I'm the head football coach as well, and it's kind of one of those things. When I was hired, we have a very progressive administration, and when the superintendent hired me, he said, "Hey, you're coming in now as our head football coach, but as somebody that we want to see change the culture." And
What was the culture before you arrived?
You know, I think it was a lot of times we were competitive at times in everything, even to the state. But as a school and working as one unit, probably not as much. And it was something that, like, again, you start with our administration, but it really started with Dr. Snapp and then Dr. DeGay. And then we've had two athletic directors, Kelly Wagner and Drew Tower, where that was a mission to get us all playing on one page. And, you know, we have 550 athletes during the school day come through the weight room, and probably another 500. And some of those are coming back. I mean, it'll be their second lift, another 500 either before or after school.
So to give people a sense, what's the total enrollment of the school then?
We're about 2,900.
Oh, okay.
And but we have 700, and I think 720 athletes, and 550 of them lift during the school day.
Gotcha.
So, and that's the commitment part that I think a lot of schools don't understand. So when you change the culture, it's also it's really not any one person or any group, even the weight room. It's a commitment by the school. Hey, we're going to compete, and we're going to give you the tools to be successful. And you'll see our track team has went from a kind of a bottom dwelling in our conference to an elite state team. You'll see both our basketball teams are elite state teams. Our wrestling team is an elite state team. You know, we compete not only within our state, but outside of our state. So you're seeing all those kinds of things progress. And I know I've missed some sports, but the athletics in general has, because we're all sharing athletes and believing in each other, and it kind of starts with them in this weight room, I think.
So when you first started, obviously there's sort of a larger goal of trying to change the culture, mm-hmm. right? But that's encompasses a lot of things. So did you have kind of a short list of things like, all right, like steps one and two are going to be the things I'm focusing on first? And was the weight room one of those?
Well, you know, when they interviewed me, they asked me, they said, if you had a choice, if we built a transformational football building or a transformational weight room, which one would you prefer? And I said, absolutely a weight room in high school. Now, if I was in college, it might be a football building.
Sure, different considerations.
Yeah. Absolutely, and we're not selling kids; we're developing kids. And I think that's kind of the exciting thing you see across the board in all of our sports. We've got a bunch of elite, great coaches. A lot of them have won state championships, and that again comes to that commitment by the school. Hey, we're going to put those tools out there to give our kids a chance to perform at a high level. Within this year, we'll have 10 Division I kids play football. So within this past year and this year, six of them in Power 5 schools. So we're giving – there's a lot getting back to the kids by being more competitive.
And so when you started looking at that transformational weight room, to steal your phrase, can you talk a little bit about what that process is like? And – The reason I think it's neat to talk about that is, like, you just don't have an average high school weight room out there, right? And just the sheer fact that you have elite form, because we're not the least expensive thing on the planet, means you put quite a bit of work into it. And people don't have a full appreciation for what that's like. So could you talk about that a little bit?
Well, again, I think when you get things done and you have that three prong of administration, the superintendent, the principal, and the athletic director, when they have three things, when all three of those people have one direction, great things can happen. So as when we went to build the weight room, the first thing we did is we toured a lot of the Midwest and a lot of colleges about what was wrong, what was right, and what was best. And that's where we kind of formed. And if people can see a video of our weight room, it's like what you said. There's a lot of Big Ten schools that come in and go, like, this weight room's nicer than the weight room we have at our college. Now, they might have a few bells and whistles that aren't really used that look nicer. But as far as production, I don't think there's much more in an 11,000 square feet weight room you're going to get done than we do at Brownsburg High School. There's three full-time weight room coaches. And now, again, you can't get 550 kids through a school day without that. But there's three of us committed to being in here all day long to develop about 100 kids an hour, which is about as much as you'll see in a regular PE class, let alone in some place where you're getting trained.
Yeah, that the metric of 100 kids an hour is not anything that most colleges have to sort of figure out, right, in their day-to-day. So that makes a lot of sense.
Well, and when you talk elite form, you know, I think there's two levels. There's guys like me that's a football coach that understands how important the weight room is and what it does to get a team to an elite level. So we know those things. Then you have the Brian Neeses and the Casey Papenfusses, the two coaches that they're going to implement it. And they're going to have our kids perform at that level. And if you're committed to elite form, then you need a Brian Nees, because he's the time he puts into it and the different levels that he can show the kids. And our strongest kid, if he's not performing well, I mean, elite form shows that. It's not just about putting in data and then letting it go and kind of, you know, the old school of putting it in. He'll actually evaluate almost every lift we do. And I think it makes it unique because the power to speed, you know, that part of it, the speed to power or power to speed, whichever way it goes, is probably the most beneficial thing in weightlifting. And as we develop athletes, that's how we've sold, you know, golfers into coming in and thinking that this weight room is a very important part, or swimmers, and is that, hey, we're going to change you. And all you got to do is look in the Olympics. And if you look at a swimmer coming off they don't look like a 120 pound swimmer jumping in a pool. I mean, they're ripped. And I think that's what our program does.
Makes sense. So you start thinking about developing this weight room. Like, was Brian already here? Or was it a case of you were like, okay, I'm going to do this, and I know this guy I also need to go get as well? Like, it was kind of a chicken or egg question, but what was that dynamic like?
Well, Brian,
you were here?
I've been here since Stuart was young.
What, 22 years?
No,
32. 32 years. So older than probably most of our listeners. He's been here and mostly solo. And then the weight room we were in, it was very functional. You couldn't get a large group in there. And it was kind of the old dungeon type weight room, where this one is, when you come into our weight room, I mean, we crank on the music and the windows are all around and you got a computer there. I mean, you feel like excited and you want to be in this weight room. You kind of get that there's something to be done, as opposed to coming into a weight room. If you're a grinder, it's pretty easy. And every football team, every athletic program has that group of grinders, and they'll win you some ball games. But if you're going to win consistently at a high level, those middle ones, you know, the old 10-80-10, the 80 is what determines whether you're going to get to the level that you want to be at.
So who picks the music?
I think it's Casey. Yeah, so Coach Papenfuss is he's the millennial out of us. So, he thought Aerosmith was old, and I know they're old. But we went to Vegas not too long ago, and all of us coaches and their wives and a group of us went to watch Aerosmith, and he thought Aerosmith would be like the worst thing ever to see. And they still rock.
I'm sure they still probably put on my show. So.
Yeah, I mean, seen John Gruden was there like two or three days after us. Yeah, so all the cool people went to there. So
gotcha. Well, no one in this room is too young. Like, I'm 52, so we're not going to have like whatever music's playing on TikTok or whatever. We're probably not going to have that in our repertoire. But
TikTok is.
If we walked out with the kids and said it, I'm sure they, you know, like in 30 seconds, half of them would be pulling out their phones.
Well, yeah,
I
he bridges that gap.
Coach Papenfuss is freaking unbelievable.
So what else would you like to talk about?
Well, you know, I think it's, again, and without being too serious all the time, but it's been that commitment to strength and speed that's made a difference. So we put a track in the weight room. I think it's six lanes, a six lane or five, six lane track. Okay, six.
49 yards.
Okay. So we put that track in there. And that track is anything, if nothing else, it symbolizes the fact that we want to get faster. And I think, again, for us, that speed of the bar that your company allows us to be able to use and be able to judge, I think it makes a huge difference in that part of it. And I know we're not trying to sell anything, but it's a great tool for the people who really want to be great in the weight room and transform it to the athletic fields.
How do you think, it's tough to get in the minds of a high school kid, right? But when you're talking about the things you're trying to achieve, like kind of what language do you use, like to get them focused on what you're trying to do? Like, do you talk about power or speed or just how do you try to communicate that? Because, you know, kind of like you were just talking about, what you might do at a college level is going to be different than what you're going to do here. So how do you accomplish that with high school kids?
Coach Neese, and every time we test, he'll put it up in this basically in green and red checkers. And if you're in the red, he is not a pleasant person. I hope somebody can see a picture of Coach Neese. So when he's not happy, the athletes are not happy. So I think that's the biggest thing. Sometimes you got it. There's the old saying, you know, you lead a mule and kick a thoroughbred. So, you know, the kids who really get it, man, they're easy. You can push them and push them and push them. Those mules, yeah, you got to lead them. And then pretty soon they start working really hard for you and they get somewhere. But I think that, again, visuals help kids understand that part of it. And I think that's one of the things that we're constantly testing and showing. And, you know, I just read on Twitter the other day that one of the great strength coaches talked about, if you're not showing data all the time, the kids won't be motivated. And I really believe that. And so we're constantly making a huge deal. When they make a club out here, it's just short of a three-ring circus and a parade, man. We make a big deal out of it, and the kids get pretty jacked about it as well. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that if the kids feel like it's a big deal, then, man, motivation's pretty easy.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Should we slide Brian in here, or
Coach
anything
Neese
else you want to cover?
By the way, so he's going to be able to answer anything from the strongest man, most importantly, what he does in the weight room, or Disney World. It doesn't matter.
Before we switch over, how did you end up first hearing about Elite Form again? Some friends of ours.
Oh, yeah. That's a great call. Doug Millsaps.
Shout out to Doug.
Who coached Jimmy Garoppolo in high school. A lot of people don't know that. When he was at, I was just a few miles away from him, but we'd been lifelong friends. And he goes like, hey, Elite Form will change your life in the weight room. And I looked at it, and I'm going like, I can't do all that, you know what? Because he was nothing but a strength coach. And then as we were going to build this weight room, I kept talking about Elite Form. And then Brian had seen it at Purdue. Purdue was just putting it in. And I think he had done it also with Coach Ballou when he was at Notre Dame and IMG, where he'd seen it there. And then it started getting more and more legs. And then as we talked to people like yourself about what was needed, if you have somebody that's going to work on it as hard as Brian Neese does, it'll be the single best tool you've ever used in the weight room. Take squat, bench, power clean, any kind of bars, any kind of machines, it'll be the single biggest tool. And that's what Doug Millsaps told me 6-7 years ago. And I kind of said, yeah. And then now I'm 100%
that's going to sound like bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean.
You agree?
Yeah.
All right. Him and Mickey Mouse are the two.
All right.
See you guys now.
Thank you, sir.
sitting in the big man's chair. That's kind
of intimidating.
Weird. Well, no, I didn't say that.
So, how'd you get into strongman?
So I'm 56. So I was in my teens in the 80s when World's Strongest Man, it was like the third or fourth year when Kaz won his first two. And back then it was on CBS. So I loved watching it. I've always loved strength stuff.
Okay.
I always have. And so then when I got a little bit older, like for my birthday, I got a weight set, lifted, went 16. As soon as I got my driver's license, I joined a gym.
Where did you live when you were young?
Indiana. I've always lived in Indianapolis. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I went to Pike High School.
Oh, okay.
So I was a Red Devil. Went to Pike High School, and then I started working out at a place called Zykes in Speedway, which is not there anymore, but started working out there.
What's changed since you and I were young around here?
So then I just kept working out, and then I got into bodybuilding, and I ended up, best I ever did, I got fourth in the Teenage USA. And then after that, I got into Highland Games, and I won basically the U.S. championship. I was a caber toss champion.
Okay.
For a little while, I held the amateur record for the 56 weight over the bar.
Okay.
Back then, it was, I think, just a tad bit over 16 feet. Now it's freaking
gotcha. 18, a few of the Sornix guys are really into that. Yeah.
So I did that, and then I formed myself and a buddy of mine formed a ministry. It was called Mighty Warriors Power Ministry, and we went around the country and we did different feats of strength. We blew up hot water bottles. I had the record, probably because I was the only idiot that wanted to do it, for the amount of bricks broken on a human's head. My partner Jason Quellhorse would take and stack six of the 2.5-inch thick, 24-foot long scalloped edge pavers on my head, and we had blocks in between. He'd stack it on my head, and I'd sit there, and then he would get up on a box, and he would use an elbow blow and smash through.
Damn.
Smash through it. It was cool because, like, the picture we came out with, it was called the Mighty Warriors Topical Bible. And it had the picture of him smashing that
on my head. Was there video? Did you guys get video?
There probably is somewhere.
We'll find something on YouTube.
But you
maybe?
Know, I don't know. Back then, there wasn't YouTube. There wasn't Twitter. There was none of
just
that.
Just once in a while, someone will have old videos from back in the day.
Yeah.
And I just end up finding them. But I didn't know if you ever looked.
No.
If Kyle will do that.
Because it's, you know, I mean, it gave me a spine that looked like a railroad after a while. Because, you know, came away with that. And then after I did the world, so when I went to the Worlds, I competed in 99 and won the United States World's Strongest Man contest qualifier. And that was great because that was in Hawaii. Ode Haugen, who still is a freaking icon in the sport, he's got a gym now in California. And the current World's Strongest Man, Martins Lisis, trains at that gym. Ode trained him. I mean, I met Martins when he weighed 240 pounds, and now he's 350.
Damn.
I mean, you know, this was years ago. And so Ode was fantastic, and he held that contest. And
can you give people, because I'm not sure, like I've always enjoyed that stuff.
Yeah.
So I have a sense for like what the events are and stuff like that. But for folks who may be listening that don't have a clue about that stuff, can you give them an idea of when you compete and when you won, like what were the types of things you were doing?
So when I did it, we had a truck pull, which in this case it was a trolley car. We had a tire flip. It was an 800 or 900 pound tire that we had to do for 75 or 100 feet. And see, the thing is, people don't realize it's so different back then. Back then, I was like a fairly large athlete. I was, when I won, I was 6'2", 275 pounds then. Now, as I competed over the next 6 or 7 years, my weight went up to, when I retired, I weighed 340, because you had to be that big. Because now the guys are, like I said, Martins Lisi's, he's 6'4", 350 pounds.
Yeah.
Brian Shaw, who's won the Worlds multiple times, he's 6'9", over 400 pounds. Hafþór Bjørnson, who won 2 years ago, he's getting ready to win the Arnold again. He's 6'9", 400 plus pounds. So back when I did it, you know, you didn't have to be a monster, because, sure, like I said, the tire was about 800 pounds. We had to do a yoke walk, which is a 2-inch bar across your back, and then hanging from it, in this case, were two full-size oxygen cylinders, and it weighed 750 pounds. So you're going, oh, man, 750. Now the average weight for a yoke walk is 1,200 pounds. So, you know, it's perspective.
Sure. Right?
And then we had to do we did a log clean and press. And at that time, it was a 8-inch diameter log that was 6 foot long. And it was 275 pounds. And you had to clean it and press it for as many reps as you can. You know, conversely, these days, press for reps starts at 330 to 350. And it's perspective, but we did that.
Perspective and progression,
yeah,
right?
Progression, like, yeah.
Sports is what tends to happen.
Well, and you got, like, back then you had guys like me who were retired bodybuilders or Highland Game guys going into strongman, whereas nowadays you've got elite athletes that, I mean, that's what they're doing. They're going into, you know, Hafþór came from an elite basketball. Brian Shaw was a scholarship basketball athlete. You know, these guys were good athletes now, whereas back then, I mean, I'm not saying we were not good athletes, but it wasn't our focus. It wasn't, you know, we kind of lucked into it, or kind of stepped into it. And
well, so someone could probably argue you guys helped make the game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it allowed it to get to a point where someone could make that specifically their focus. So,
I mean, it was fun. I mean, it was. I retired all the way, so I won that one, and then I came back at age 50 and won the U.S. Championship for over 50. So that was, of course, there was me and
Master my strong.
There was me and myself competing in the over 50 category, but still, by gosh,
you were there.
I won it.
You were there.
I went through it.
That's right.
So yeah, we had that. The Atlas stones, the round stones that you see them loaded all the time. Do that. Do some form of a deadlift. Now they've kind of gone back to just a strict bar deadlift or an elephant bar, which is a bar that has a little bit more give to it.
So were there, like, kind of those, were there specific events that you knew you just owned? Like, forget like the Masters, you were the only one in the category, but like, so back in the day, when you were competing against everybody else, I mean, were there just things where people were like, well, shit, Brian's got this one?
I was really good at a grip event. Like if it was a really heavy farmer's walk, I was good. But if it was a lighter farmer's walk, I mean, I could hold on to it, but I've never moved very fast. So lighter farmer's walk, guys like a buddy of mine, Chad Coy, he's almost 50 and he still competes. Guy's fantastic. Strongman, he's probably of the guys who strength coach wise have influenced me the most. Chad's probably number one on that. He used to own a gym here in Kokomo. He's huge with the Parisi speed schools.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's a master trainer for them. In fact, they sent him to China earlier this year to do clinics. And he now has a Parisi and, training in Kansas, but it's fantastic. But anyway, he was always quicker than me, So I hated any moving events because he would win because he was fast and he was strong. He still is strong. So
we probably, at a certain point, everybody's strong. It's just a matter of, getting the best of them in certain things, I guess.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I like that. Back then I was good at, log clean and press.
Okay.
You know, but as you get older, like I was training for in 99 after I won in 2000, the early part of 2000, I was training for a show and I was training the yoke walk and I had an old style yoke that had the cylinders hanging down and it got away from me. And it was 750 pounds. And I tried to catch it. When I tried to catch it, my right bicep detached from the insertion down at the elbow.
Right.
So came back. I wasn't smart. I came back too soon. I didn't do my rehab, but I was sponsored by a supplement company back then. And I was afraid I would lose my sponsorship, if I didn't compete. And so, yeah, I came back too soon, but it was all right. I still had another, maybe five, six years of competing after then.
So, like, what was training like for that? Like, obviously, I'm sure you kind of like you just described, right? When you got injured, you're doing the events, like to get better at, because there's got to be a strength and a skill aspect to some of that. But what else were you doing?
So, before the United States Championship, I worked out at a place called Artisan Now Gym. It's not around anymore, but it was an old, like Coach Hart said, you got some guys that'll go into a hole in the wall and they love it. They're grinders. They go, that's me. I'm a grinder. I get up at 4 every day. I'm in here by 4:30 and get my workout done because I got teams starting before 7. So that's when, I get it done because I love to work out. But you train your basics, you know, you got to do your bench press, your shoulder press, your squats, front squat, back squat, you know, all that. And then at that time, something that kind of helped me and set me apart, I made my own implements. I made farmer's walks. I made my own version of friggin' yoke walks. I went out and bought a tire, not bought, but went out and found a tire to do the tire flip. So then 2 or 3 days a week, I would train the events. So that put me, because back then it didn't happen. Guys would just work out in the gym, work out, and then go to a contest, never having done the events.
They just figured out while they were there.
Right. They'd never touched a tire. They never flipped a tire. They never touched, a log. They never touched any of that stuff. So that's why in 99 after the Worlds, because I'd been doing that, I came back. And myself and another buddy, we went together because he had a welding shop and we started Mastiff Strength Equipment. And so we were basically the first people that were selling logs, that were selling farmer's walks. We sold stones. And my wife, who's friggin' awesome, see, we've been married now 29 years. June 1st, because then the next year is going to be our 30th. And so, nice.
Congrats, brother.
Yeah, we're going to take our whole. We're going to take our whole family to Disney World. And this is going to be really, really cool because I got a grandson coming in August. So,
gotcha.
Pretty excited for that. But anyway, my poor wife, she learned how to make molds. We would go to Walmart and she would buy a big ball that they sell. Then she would sit there and she would cover it in plaster of Paris and drywall tape, let it dry, cut a small hole in the top, deflate the ball. And then we would fill it with concrete. We were like one of the first companies to make stones.
That's super cool.
Nobody knew how to get stones before then. Because I was thinking to myself, well, okay, how am I going to get a stone? Do I go, because back then, like at the Worlds, their set of stones were, I think, granite that they actually had, cut down. That's expensive.
Sure.
So she and I kind of got together. We thought, well, how can we make these stones? And she figured that out. And then if we wanted to make them heavier, we'd buy a little bit bigger ball. Or sometimes we had to put weights inside. But we had stones. We shipped stones all over the world.
Wow.
In fact, Hugo Girard, who back in the 80s, Hugo was like, he was Canada's strongest man. He was in the worlds multiple times. He was a great strongman. He's since retired, but he was fantastic. Bought a set of our stones. They were everywhere. Then people got smart and figured out, hey, I can make a mold out of plastic and it can go together easily. I can have two sides. And so, but I mean, the stone business, my wife made, hundreds of stones, and we shipped them, and they're still, I mean, they are still around.
That's awesome. That we made. So what did, was your wife like also into strength, or was it just, she was into you, so to speak, right?
Well, back then she,
obviously both.
She actually won, after I won in 99, cause I won the U.S. Strongest Man, got to go to the World's Strongest Man in 99 in Malta, which, you know, they went back to Malta a few years ago, and my God, it was beautiful. When I was there, it wasn't beautiful. But anyway, two years after that, she was competing in strongman, and she won the Midwest Open. It was huge. It was in Ohio. I competed, and she competed. It was a pro division, and she won $500 for that. And the next week, I think we took off for Disney World. Took that puppy and used it in Disney World. So, yeah. So she did that. That's awesome. And she did really well in the Ode Haugen. Used to have another contest in Hawaii. She competed in the women's division and did really well in that. So, yeah. Now, people are like, because I'm 6'2". I've shrunk. I'm 6'1". And like I said, I was 340, but I didn't want to have a heart attack. So I dropped all the way down to 240. But people are like scared of me. I'm like, don't be scared of me. I said, be scared of my wife. Because she works for FedEx as a ramp agent. Okay. So she loads freaking planes for a living.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask. I wasn't sure what that was.
She loads planes for a living. She doesn't take anybody's shit. And yeah, no, don't be afraid of her, not afraid of me. So, yeah.
Sounds like a good lady.
Yeah.
So how do you go from competing in that to basically being a strength coach here at Brownsburg? I mean, they kind of go together, but tell us a little bit about that.
So I've been teaching here 32 years. When I went to college, my mom, who's also a teacher, she wanted to make sure that I could get a job when I got out. So I got a degree in science, social studies, and special ed. And then I got my teaching license on top of that. So I'm licensed to teach. Back then I was licensed to teach science, social studies, and special ed. So I started out for the first 13 years, I taught science, social studies, and special ed in middle school.
Okay.
In middle school. So then.
What middle school?
Brownsburg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, I love Brownsburg. I've been here, like I said, 32 years. We've lived here 30 years. All three of my kids graduated from Brownsburg High School.
Gotcha.
You know, that's after so long.
You bleed purple, basically?
After so long, I don't wear purple anymore because I've seen it for so long. I wear one of my grumpy shirts every day because I got 34 or 35 different grumpy shirts from Disney. So anyway, so Mike Godin, who was our football coach then in the 80s when you were at Harrison, he wanted to get a strength coach because they didn't have a strength coach back right then. And so met with him, talked with our athletic director because they knew me because I'd won the worlds and everything else. And they knew me from the middle school because, you know, I've been here forever. And I coached football years before. And so I got hired first as kind of a part-time strength coach. I was still teaching at the middle school.
Right.
But I'd come over after school and run basically the football strength program.
Okay.
Nobody else, but just football. And so then after Coach Godin retired, Brett Comer came in, another fantastic person, and he got me over here to the high school teaching special ed 6 periods a day, and then 1 period, 7th period, I would be in the weight room with football.
Okay.
So then as the years kind of went on, they're like, hey, get your PE license and then we'll get you in there full time. Because a lot of schools in Indiana, they'll hire a strength coach from, you know, like a hospital setting, Methodist Sports Medicine, like that.
Yeah.
And have them there. But then they have another full-time teacher who's PE in with them. Because to get your credits, you have to have a licensed PE teacher, you know, right, in that subject. So I went back to Indiana Wesleyan, and really in under a year, I did everything I needed for my PE license, went and took the test, got my PE license. So then I was in the weight room full time, 6 periods a day, the old weight room. It's, you know, we'd have maybe 28, 30 kids, but it kept going. And my oldest boy got in high school. We had a great group of guys. Then one of our assistant football coaches now, AJ Akrabade, was in that group, and it was a great group. I formed an Olympic lifting team with those guys, and I had three national champions in Olympic lifting out of those guys.
Nice.
Yeah. And that was a year.
That's awesome.
That was a year. Their junior year is the year I first met Coach Hart, who's our head football coach now, because he was at Warren Central then. And so we played them for regionals. And they were faster. They were better athletes. Coach Hart's a freaking fantastic coach. We did everything we could. We had grass. We watered the hell out of that grass to try and slow them down.
You will get no traction.
No. We ended up, we lost by a point.
Oof.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, then the guys graduated. My other son came. And when Coach Hart got here, it really changed. It took a lot of burden off me, stuff that I'm not a people person. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm just not. I'm not a people person.
Sure.
You know, I'm a one-dimensional, one focus, and that's lifting. That's getting you stronger, figuring out, okay, what do I got to do to get you stronger? I really don't want to talk to you about your life. I mean, I might sound bad, but I really don't want to talk to you about stuff outside this weight room. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's something that's an emergency that you're in danger, you know, yeah, I'll get you the help you need. And that's why Coach Hart and Coach Pop, Casey Poppenfuss, who is in here in the weight room with me, who's our speed guru. The guy's speed wise he's a savant, man. He knows his stuff on speed. Those guys are great because they have personality. They want to talk to the kids, and you know,
me. And so you're just able to kind of come in, and your role is going to be focused on.
Exactly. I'm the hammer. I mean, I want you to work out. That's it. That's it. I don't want you going to a different rack and talking. I don't want you socializing. I'd prefer that the only thing we hear in this weight room is the music. I would prefer to hear no talk, because like if you work out with me in the morning, I'm not going to say shit to you. I'm not. Our athletic director, Drew Tower, who's fantastic, he comes in early like I do. We never say two words. Casey will get in here a little after six to work out. Never say anything to each other. It's just the way I was brought up.
You ever watch Parks and Rec?
Mm-hmm.
Ron Swanson. There's some line where he says something about like this buddy he had in a previous job, and he goes, "We still never talk sometimes."
Yeah.
Yeah.
His seven levels of success. Yes. I love Ron Swanson.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's also, I suppose, the Pulp Fiction line, like being able to enjoy a silence mm-hmm. around somebody else. So I'm with you. So if you have to kind of do a little chit chat, do you just end up like exhausted afterwards just because it's not what you want to be doing, not who you are, etc.? Because despite the fact that I'm hosting a podcast, like I have to put the game face on, right? I'm better in small groups, etc. And I'll get done. And
just because we're talking weightlifting or Disney, that's the only reason.
So how?
But we're having a conversation. So
fair enough. How did the Disney thing start? Like you said, you have what, 30 some? Oh, is it Grumpy shirts?
Oh yeah.
So, is it specific to Grumpy or?
Yeah.
Okay, how'd that get going?
Well, I was blessed. My folks, fantastic. They took us to Disney like the first year it was open.
Oh wow!
And so we've been going back. I don't even know how many times I've been. Multiple hundreds of times. Like my wife and I, the last 2 years, we've been season pass holders.
Okay.
And my oldest son is he's a manager for Southwest Airlines. So as his parents, we get to fly standby for free.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So like this weekend, more than likely, if my wife said that it was kind of iffy on the open flights, but if there's an open flight, I'm going. We'll get up. Plane takes off at 5:20 a.m., gets there at 8:30.
Which is nothing for you.
No. And then there's one coming back at 8. So we'll go down Saturday morning, come back Saturday night.
Gotcha.
Because there's places I want to eat at. They just opened a new place called the Regal Eagle in Epcot that I want to eat at.
Okay.
And so for one more day, they're having this brunch at Le Cellier at Epcot, which is in Canada, Pavilion. I want to eat at that. So people think it's strange. It's okay. I know I'm strange. So I don't care.
I don't think of it as strange. I just kind of have more of a, people are into what they're into. You know what I mean? And everybody's different. So I kind of have a who gives a shit attitude about it. Like if that's what you're into, awesome. I am curious, the grumpy shirt thing, did somebody sort of like, hey, this reminds me of you? Or were you sort of like, actually?
No, I was like, that's kind of an extension of me.
So let's grab that and go with it kind of thing. That's cool. And so do the kids here at Brownsburg kind of, because it almost creates a persona, right? Yeah. So which, I mean, I'd be cool with, but.
They
know. Is it kind of a thing?
They know.
Gotcha.
And it's so weird because there's people who see through it in a heartbeat. And they're my favorites. I've got a couple girls who I call my daughters that I don't have to pay anything for. Because I don't have to pay bills for them, don't have to do anything for them. And yeah, even as freshmen, they saw through it that, no, he's not grump. He's not really that grumpy. That's just the way he is. So.
Well, bringing a little bit of edge and kind of seeming grumpy, if like when you're lifting, you kind of want to be left alone, it's a great way to keep the distance. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for sure. I can see it working to your advantage. And
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Another great thing that Coach Hart did, and he's done, I don't have to kiss his ass. I've been here 32 years. You know?
Right.
Hell, I could retire this year if I wanted to. Because I got the age, I got the time. I just don't want to because I'm going to go work at a gym.
Right. You're so still going to want to just come in and do work. And
work And this school system, I mean, if you haven't been around Indiana, around schools, et cetera, this is a freaking, like the best car is a Rolls Royce school system. And I sent my kids through it, and it really is fantastic. But like I said, I don't have to kiss Coach Hart's ass, but he's made life hell of a lot more enjoyable. Let's say that.
Okay.
Because he lets me be me. Okay. If I'm getting a little too grumpy, he's good at getting me, you know. He and Coach Pop are good at you
he can know. Be he can be the rumble strips on the edge of the road.
Yeah, he's the rumble strips, and you know, like I said, when we created this gym, he trusted me to design it the way I knew it needed to be.
So when he said, like, one of his first things was he wanted to make, I can't remember his exact words, but he obviously wanted to make a really nice weight room. Did he have that as a concept? And then he just went, hey, Brian, like, yeah. I want to do this and lead the charge. Like, you know more than me kind of thing.
Well, because where he came from, Huntley, they just put in a new weight room there 2 years before.
Okay.
So he knew that concept, and he came and he liked a lot of the equipment. Like, all of our equipment is powerlift. And again, it's just like, and I mean, it's just like with, there's a lot of different systems that you can get for tracking power, speed, all that crap.
Sure.
Okay. There's a lot of different strength equipment you can buy too.
Absolutely.
But you can either get shitty stuff that's going to fall apart and not give you what you want, or you can get the best. So when I went and got equipment, I got the best. I bought Powerlift. I've always bought Powerlift. In fact, when I, in 99, 2000, 2001, I can't remember what date it was, but I suck at business. And so after I started my Master Strength equipment line, one day my wife and I were going home from a meet in Illinois, and she's like, I got some really bad news. I'm like, what? We were $10,000 in debt because I'm not a good businessman. So anyway, she took the bull by the horns and got us out of debt. And the great thing was I went and met with the powerlift people, Mike, who's head of sales for the whole thing, and the owner. And they agreed to take over Master Equipment.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, you know, it's always been a quality company. And so I've always stayed with them. And it's the same way. I've had people try to sell me different systems to do what I do now with, sure, with track and power and stuff. And
did a lot of you get stuff
what
with,
you pay for. Right. And so Elite Form may be more expensive. And sometimes we kind of have that argument with certain people who write the bills. But you get what you pay for.
Did a lot of the stuff you do with Powerlift, was that Mike Richardson that you talked to a lot?
Yeah. Mike and I are, we've known each other.
Shit. How'd you get to know Mike? Is it from equipment?
Yeah. So we went to, my wife and I went to the, I forget what year, because stuff just runs together.
Oh, amen to that.
To the college football coaches in San Antonio. The FCA took equipment there to try and sell it, generate orders. And
yeah, like a booth kind of thing?
Yeah. Gotcha. And that was one of the things that got me in debt. But didn't generate.
Having done that. It can add up.
Yeah.
Particularly drage.
Yeah. So fortunately,
we should have Mike in here for that one.
Fortunately, I knew Tom Proffitt.
Yeah.
Who was with Hammer Strength through Dr. Ken Leishner.
Okay.
Who since passed away last year. But I knew Dr. Ken for a long time. And then I met Tom, and Tom knew the difficulties I was having financially. And so he introduced me then to Mike and the owner of Powerlift, and
just kept some negotiations.
Yeah. And they agreed to take it over.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah. So I'm happy that it lives on.
Gotcha.
The Mastiff is still, you can go to Powerlift's website and look up Mastiff. So
that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
There's like a legacy kind of thing.
Yeah.
For sure. So how did Coach make you then aware of Elite Form or how did
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Coach Hart.
Because obviously you understand velocity and power and would have known, like, tendos are kind of old school. So
Coach Hart told me, we talked about it. See, that's the thing. People don't understand. The three of us, myself, Coach Poppenfuss, and Coach Hart, we're together freaking 10 or 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, 6 days a week during football. I mean, it's, this office is not, I mean, it's big, but it ain't huge,
right?
You know, and there's no, I mean, Coach Hart's the only one that has a separate room because of all, like, we had probably between 70 or 100 college coaches in here during the open recruiting period. And so obviously he's got to have a place where he can, you know, he can talk to them.
Sure.
After they're done, you know, looking at our guys and stuff. He told me about it. And then Dave Blue, who's unbelievable strength coach, he and Dr. Ray, what they're doing at IU is so far cutting edge. I've known Dave since he was at Avon as a strength coach.
Yeah.
And then he left and went to IMG, and then he left and went to Notre Dame. We used to use IMG in Notre Dame, so I got with him about it and talked to Mike with Powerlift about it. And so that's what got us into everything. And
yeah, if I remember right, and I could be wrong because I'm not that great sometimes, but I think you and I chatted at the NFL Combine,
mm-hmm.
but it was pretty clear. You guys kind of already knew.
Yeah.
Like, you had it. So, like, sometimes we end up sort of, sometimes you coach up coaches a little bit, right? Or there's this sort of start from scratch conversation. But I just remember thinking, oh, well, these guys are good. Like, yeah. And there might be, like, a question here or there that we can just kind of clear up. But,
I mean,
it was clear you'd already done your homework.
With 16 units, and then we went to 24 units because we got 24 racks in here, right. 24 units. And I mean, you're taking a guy, and it's funny, you're taking a guy who's, like you were talking about TikTok, I don't know what the hell TikTok is.
Right.
Twitter stuff, I don't know how to use it. I don't want to know how to use it. I don't care. If I want to know something, I'll ask my wife, you know. Computer-wise, I'm not.
You're leading right into my question.
When I started, we took attendance on a frigging piece of paper and put it outside our room. The first computers we had were two of them in the media center at the old middle school. I didn't grow up on computers.
Right.
So I wasn't really good at it. But when we got started, Kyle came in and sat with me for probably 3 hours and showed me how to do stuff. And then as I kept working on my own, and that's another, you get what you pay for. Like when I call you guys, I have an answer right then. Or if I email you, I have an answer right then. You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and I was fortunate because again, Dave Ballou, Coach Ballou and Coach Ray, Casey Poppenfuss, he and I went to IU, and those guys are so awesome. They spent good 3 or 4 hours after lifting one day, just going over, hey, this is what we do with it. This is what, like, I didn't know about the daily report until I talked to Dave. And so then I got with you guys and I get the daily report, report and everything else. I didn't know about that until I talked with Dave. So you just got to keep talking with people and find out what you need. And you gotta keep using it.
Right. Sure. Sure. I was curious about, like, so, like, strongman, do you know who Mark Twight is? It was like a mountaineer, or is a mountaineer. It's probably disrespectful to say was. He trained a lot of the actors that were in 300.
Mm-hmm.
Has a really good podcast, and then has a facility, I believe, in Colorado. But, like, he'll talk about Defend Analog, which is kind of a keep it simple. And so I was going to ask you, like, how do you go from strongman, we're making our own stones, right, to then, I mean, this is jumping all the way over to the other side of, like, kind of high tech stuff. It sounds like you're just kind of grinding through it.
Yeah, you grind through it, and you got to have a personality that, for me, I always want to be the best. I want my guys to be the best. And so you got to do what you got to do
just
to be the best.
Just put in the work to be the best.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking, we're going to go, this year, wasn't a downfall, but I guess our weakness wasn't our strength. My guys, they're strong. This class coming up that I love to death is strong. We hit 90 clubs today. A lineman tackle who's got so many D1 offers. He's got so many offers coming out the butt. But he's fantastic kid. I mean, fantastic. He's been working so hard on his clean, and he made the board today. And we test next Saturday is kind of our big football testing day.
Okay.
And so we'll get over 100 boards because Coach Hart looked at it, and really no team that's won the state championship, and you've got great teams here, Carmel, Warren Central, those guys. No team, New Pal, that's won the state championship has had less than 100 clubs. So a club, you've got the 225 times 1 for clean. You have the 200 times 10, or if they get 255, they get the bench press, that bench press club. Then you have the 400 times 1 club for back squat. Then you have the 300 times 1 club for bench press. And then you have a 935 club where if your total for the three lifts is over 935 or above, you get in that club. So that's what I'm talking about when I say clubs. So if you have over 100 clubs, nobody's won that football state championship with less than 100 clubs. So that means you got to take your great guys, like, you know, your quarterback who's already committed to Kansas, you know, great guys like Josh and stuff. And we've got Preston, who's already committed to Purdue. You've got those great guys. But like Coach was saying, it's the 10-80-20 rule. It's that middle 80% that you got to have in these clubs. Because you got to have guys for the great guys to work out and to bring up. You got to have a supporting cast.
Sure.
If you don't have a supporting cast, you can have great guys, but yeah. I mean, that's probably like our team. Well, my oldest son, which is our last team to win a sectional championship, and they, like I said, they lost to Coach Hart's team in the regionals. They weren't physical. Like, my son's maybe 6 foot. He weighed a whopping 170 pounds, and he won the national championship in Olympic lifting. Mm-hmm. But they had that intangible, man. They would, that band of brothers, they would die for each other, and their work ethic in the weight room was unbelievable, you know. So that's what we're trying to build in these guys that we got now. And to do that, like Coach Hart said, we compete. Like tomorrow for bench day, every Thursday we do our rep bench day. And so it's the goal is to get 200 by 10,
mm-hmm.
but then you just keep, like, I get 200 by 10 this week. Next week, I'm going to do 205. See, I mean, I get 205. When I get it for 10, then I'm going to go 210. I got one guy, a lineman. Last week, he did 300 for 9.
That's all right.
So I mean, you got a high school junior, 300 for 9. You know, that's, and I've got a lot of guys over, I mean, we've got in the 200 by 10 club right now, I've got 25 guys.
So you may have said this, so I apologize if I'm making you repeat yourself, but so there's this benchmark of knowing you need to hit X number of clubs to win state.
Mm-hmm.
And how close are you guys to that benchmark?
Last year, right now we're at 90. And so by next week we'll be over 100. Like last year we had 114 clubs.
Okay.
Last year.
Gotcha.
So we were strong. Like I said, we were strong, but we lacked mobility. We weren't quick enough. We couldn't, you know, change direction fast, et cetera. And kept getting hurt with stupid stuff, ankle injuries, things that are preventable if you go back and do diligence, we're here 10, 12 hours a day talking, then you go back. And so that's what we've done this off season. We have hit the crap out of flexibility. In fact, that's what we were doing after school in our supplemental workout today was overhead squats, snatches, working on flexibility.
Okay.
Ankle, 2 days a week, Coach Pop does an ankle circuit with them to strengthen their ankles. 2 days a week, I do a shoulder circuit to strengthen their shoulders. It doesn't take long. It takes five, six minutes at the beginning. But that prehab is going to pay off in the long run.
Makes sense. Yeah, like, just because it doesn't take long doesn't mean it's not important.
Right.
Yeah.
And like we're getting into now the GPS. So we're gonna GPS everybody.
What are you going to use for that?
We're looking at a couple different ones.
Oh, okay.
See, that's kind of why I wish Elite Form, I wish you guys had it hooked into, you know, a GPS that we could hook into the whole computer algorithm there so I could see it and get everything out of the same place.
Gotcha.
Well, it's just more computer crap I gotta learn, okay?
That's true.
So,
but as you're looking at them, so we've got an API where we can send our stuff someplace else. So if it's a GPS system that has some reporting tool at the end that will take other people's info, we can just send it to them. And then you can just look at it on the spot.
Cool.
So when you get there,
all right, yeah,
we'll talk about that offline.
Because we've already talked to, obviously, Coach Blue at IU.
Yeah.
His coach, Dr. Ray, is freaking a genius at that stuff. They're miles, because he measures everything in miles per hour, because on the football field, I mean, that's what you need, that miles per hour. He keeps raising their speed. Talk to Chris Doyle, who I've known Chris since 97 or 98. Chris is the strength coach at Iowa, because he and I used to compete together in strongman.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know he did that. That's awesome. He's one of the few people I haven't had the pleasure of meeting. So
he's unbelievably nice person, and B, he's freaking smart. I mean, like my people in Boston would say, he's wicked smart.
Gotcha. I've heard great things.
They're actually one of the first people that started the whole GPS, using the GPS, monitoring their athletes. So he was kind enough to actually hook us up with their assistant strength coach, who does all their GPS.
Gotcha.
And so Coach Pop, Casey, he talked to him on the phone, called him, spent a good hour with him, and got information for us that's invaluable. It's really
nice.
Good. So, yeah, we're working to put everything together.
Okay. So. Well, we can help make the reporting site easier.
Awesome.
Just let me know.
I need all the help I can get.
When you get there,
that.
Just let me know. We'll send Kyle back here for three more hours and get it done. That's fine.
Going through the data sometimes. I'm like, I'm old.
Well, the nice thing is, like, when you, if you know, well, Matt or, you know, people like you've already referenced, they've done a lot of work on it already and would say, like, well, here's what we found to be important. So they kind of help whittle some of the noise out just by being great at communicating.
I mean, for us, we're trying to. One of our fears is that last year we were slowing down and getting tired as the season wore on. So we're wanting to look and see, hey, you know, what's your maximum load during the week on your guys so you can be ready to go. So that's a big thing we're looking at. I mean, St. X, who we play game two, because we play Ben Davis game one, St. Xavier from Ohio game two. They've used the GPS for the last few years, and it's reduced their injuries, and also they're a fantastic team. They're fantastic and they're fast.
Gotcha.
So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
So another tool to compete with them.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's like a big topic right now of trying to maintain in the season. Which, I mean, I'm kind of glad it is, because you don't like there's always that fall off. But being around a lot of smart people, like I've seen, okay, there are ways you can minimize that or sometimes avoid it altogether. But it wasn't anything that it kind of had to be put in my face for them to be able to look into the how it's done and that kind of thing.
Fortunately for me, I know enough people that I can ask because smart and my name don't go together. But
anything else you want to talk about? Which is an ironic thing to ask of a guy who said he doesn't like talking. But
well, if like I said, if you
talk said about you have no personality,
if you talk about weights or Disney,
we're good.
Yeah, I can talk.
Is there common ground? Yeah. Do somehow weights and Disney connect? Like, I feel like just based on this, do you ever go on like on its website? Mm-mm. They're like a supplement. They make maces, so they have some like strength conditioning tools. They do supplements. Like Joe Rogan's, I think, involved with them to some degree. But they have bumpers that are like Captain America's shield, right? And I feel like we should get you a set. It's got like Grumpy on it.
Grumpy on it. Yeah.
Something like that. Although, you also said you like the old school rooms, so. Fair enough. Fair enough.
No.
All good. Well, hey, why don't we just end here?
All right.
Sound all right?
Cool.
Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening. You may have noticed there was no Malort moment in this week's podcast, and that's because we happen to be on site at the high school. However, we did discover after the fact that both Coach Neese and Avery share a love of bourbon and probably spent 30 minutes after the fact discussing various bourbons, some hard-to-find brands. And after that, we discovered that Brian has basically a garage bar, which sounds perfect for both consumption and podcasting. So hopefully we can get to a round two someday. Like I said, thanks always for listening. You can find us at your typical locations. Give us a like, a subscribe, whatever's appropriate. And of course, if you have feedback, there's the option of podcast@eliteform.com. Thank you.